It is amazing that Sweden is denying asylum to Christians. Then they're facing persecution in Iran. It's Iranian Christians that had to flee, and they went to Sweden, and they're hanging people. They're literally hanging them like big forklifts. They're raising them up in front of everybody, and they're just hanging them. As a matter of fact, listen right now to CBN News reporting, and we'll be right back.
Iran is one of the most dangerous places in the world for Christians, but that's exactly where the Swedish government intends to send these former Muslims. Their request for asylum that could save their lives, denied. The Swedish government's attitude toward Iranian Christians facing deportation would seem to be as cold as the Swedish winter. The Iranians say Sweden's immigration board simply does not care that they may face prison or torture if they're returned to Iran. Reza Jabari has been in hiding after his asylum request was rejected. He knows what awaits him in Iran.
In the Islam, it's Sharia. If every Muslim man who leaves the Islam must be killed because this man is apostate.
His pastor, Kai Berger, still can't believe Reza's asylum request was denied.
And I thought, this should be a piece of cake. I mean, this man has brought other Muslims to the Christian faith and the Christian baptism. I mean, if he's a fraud, he's a very bad one, since he's bringing people to a Christian faith. But still, they denied him. That made me look into what is going on.
What's going on, according to veteran Swedish immigration lawyer Gabriel Donner, is a badly run asylum process and, in some cases, anti-Christian bias.
When you apply for asylum, you have to present your case. If you claim that you are a convert, you need to show some evidence of having converted. Certificate of baptism, for example, membership in a congregation, or something else of that sort.
But Donner says that crucial evidence is often missing from asylum applications because too many state-appointed lawyers don't include it, leaving the asylum seekers at the mercy of immigration officials who may not understand Swedish law, what it means to be a Christian, or how dangerous Iran is.
All of this together results in a sort of lottery, where some people win and some people lose.
Some of the losers are Ali, his wife Matab, and their little girl Serena. They're Iranian Christians who left Islam, and they now face deportation.
We have told our families in Iran that we are Christian now, and they have disowned us. So we don't have a family to return to. Our blood is now halal. It's holy for Muslims to kill us.
Matab says a Swedish immigration official actually tried to comfort her by saying yes, they probably would be thrown into an Iranian prison, but not killed. Homira is another Iranian Christian facing deportation.
My asylum request was denied, and I was ordered to leave the country. I don't have any identity. I can't even use medical services.
She's in hiding and says when she tried to testify about her Christian faith to immigration officials, they thought she was lying.
Officials do not seem to understand why a Muslim would become a Christian. They asked me, why didn't you become a Jew?
Reza Jabari says an immigration official told him that when he's deported to Iran, all he needs to do is tell everyone he's a Muslim, not a Christian, and he'll be fine.
I'm saying, after I'm baptized and I'm a Christian, you cannot say like these things to me.
There's a lot of bias regarding Christian converts because the standard argument is, well, nobody converts to Christianity out of true belief. Why would anybody do anything of a sort?
They are ignorant about religious issues. They don't know the difference between a Catholic church or Pentecostal. They ask a lot of stupid questions about Christian faith.
Bengt Schoberg spends his time trying to rescue Christian asylum seekers.
Almost every week, about five or six churches call me and say, these people who have come to church, they are real converts. They are members in our church. But Migration Board, they don't believe they are Christians. What shall we do?
Mikael Ribbenvik, director of operations for the Swedish Migration Board, describes an agency that seems to be overwhelmed by asylum seekers.
And we have about 1,000 people coming every week from all all countries of the world, or many countries of the world. And so that's our first challenge. Then, of course, we have to have a proper procedure and give people answers in due time. If we say no, you can go to the courts. But, of course, the volume in the system is a challenging task for us.
But it shouldn't be hard for Swedish officials to understand that Iran is a very dangerous place for Christians. The case of Pastor Yusuf Nardakani brought worldwide attention when he was convicted of apostasy and sentenced to death before being acquitted. Just a few weeks ago in Washington, a congressional hearing heard from Iranian Christian Nagma Abedini, whose husband, Pastor Saeed Abedini, an American citizen, has been given an 8-year prison sentence for threatening Iran's national security. He was building an orphanage.
He was in prison because he loved Jesus.
Pastor Saeed's attorneys say his client's 8-year sentence amounts to death. He's already been tortured and beaten in prison and has internal bleeding. Reza was a famous singer in Iran and refused to help the Islamic regime, getting him in trouble before and making him an even bigger target if he's sent back.
He's been put in prison. They try to recruit him as an informant. We don't know what's going to happen to him in prison. Is he being tortured? Is he being left alone? We don't know this.
But these Christians all told us they've given their situations to God.
Jesus accepted me. And now I'm very free.
We asked Sweden's Migration Board if it understood the danger faced by Christian converts sent back to Iran. It said it did. Donner said that makes what Sweden is doing to these asylum seekers all the more damning. The government of Sweden seems to have closed its eyes. Bengt Sjöberg says when he told a Swedish Migration Board official that a family they deported was being tortured, the official said the family should call the police. When Sjöberg explained that they were being tortured by the police, the official hung up.
The history books will say something pretty nasty about Sweden's policy in this matter in the future.
Dale Hurd, CBN News, Stockholm.
My goodness, that is just amazing. I can't believe that they would send these Christians back to Iran.
Yeah.
Knowing what's going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what's going to take place with on the judgment seat of Christ? I mean, think about it. It's like, are you serious?
And you're going to see. Do you want that on your resume when you go to see the Lord?
Mm-hmm. You're going to, when you go to the VFN Torch and go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, you're going to see this video. And I want you to see this video because it shows you what's happening in Iran. They literally have like a forklift truck that goes really high with the forks, and they have Christians hanging by their necks from ropes from these forks of this forklift in front of everybody, extended like 75 feet in the air. That's what we're looking at. And they know, they asked the question, this is what they said in this report from CBN News, they asked them, do you know what's going to happen to them if you send them back?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, yeah, we're aware of that.
Wow.
And see what happens is the church has tried to, Christians have just started to try to say, oh, we're all Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that building's the church. I mean, we bought into all these wrong definitions as, you know, a Christian is a Christ follower.
Mm-hmm.
And which means you can't identify with every religious person in the world, no matter even if they use a lot of similar things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one thing, and that's why when our founding fathers, that's why they had when they said that the government shall make no laws concerning the church. It was not separation of church and state to keep the church out of government. It was to keep the government out of church because you see these integrations. She's saying, I can't get any health care. I can't get any benefits because you actually have to join the church. You have to be a citizen to be able to get all these benefits. People are trying to go to places where they're going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to be willing to die for the cause. You got to be willing to do without. You got to be willing to be free. The price of freedom.
Yeah.
And when America's headed in a direction just like that, just like Sweden, where all of a sudden we have to make a decision. Can we take someone in because we're going to have to pay for their life versus, hey, there's your piece of land. Go work hard, make a living, you know, enjoy the blessings. Well, wow. Lord, we just pray for those Christians in Sweden, Lord, that you would keep them safe. And even in America, there would be a way maybe we can bring them into America. I'm telling you, JJ, brother. JJ better wake up. Because
that's so true. You think about all this money too. It's like, really? You're gonna allow them money and throw it over a Christian over the boat, if you will, under the bus? It's right. Like, is not life precious? We know what everyone knows what they're capable of doing and what they have already done to believers and to Christians. Right.
And of course, JJ, you can find that on the torch. You need to listen to it, but that stands for Jesus and the Jews, which is because Jesus is Jews, but he's the firstborn amongst the church. And Christians and Jews, no matter what people offer you, and they'll offer you a lot to get you to lay down, JJ, to lay down your love and your support for Israel and to lay down your loyalty to Jesus Christ. And they don't care what, Satan does not care what you get. He told Jesus, he's, listen, all these kingdoms in this world has been given to me, and I'll give them to you. As a matter of fact, you can go on the VFN Torch and go to VFNTV.com, click on the VFN Torch, and go in the upper right-hand corner where you can search for any topics and just type in the word X Factor, and see what happened with a particular, talent situation where you'll watch this whole thing progress where these young boys have a talent and somebody took their talent, but there came a point in time when they had to make a decision. It looked like they're going to lay it all down for the glory. Are they going to lay it all down for the fame and for the money? And a real oddity took place because they came in, sang individually.
They sang, didn't they?
Yeah, they sang individually, but this man named Simon, which sounds just like Simon in the Bible, taking God's gifts and using them for profit.
Right.
He brings them together. He makes a group out of them, and you can find out who the group is. And everybody would know, probably this generation, young generation would know. And so he brings them on the stage, and they're singing, but out of nowhere, they're dressed in a way that even the stagehands didn't even know they were going to do this. At the very last moment, every one of them had blood on them, like a blood sacrifice.
Yeah.
And one of the judges, he's talking, they were great. They're great singers. They're like what they're doing. I just don't understand what this Halloween has to do with it. And then the announcer walks up, stands by beside the boys, and he says, this whole thing's scaring me. And they asked the guy named Sam, and they said, well, what is this about? And he just looks really, oh my goodness, I've been confronted here. And he goes, it's an eclipse. It's about an eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, that was the moment that those boys, maybe even unaware of, as became a sacrifice. And within the next moments, their fame spread all around the world, and now they're basically being worshipped. People screaming and hollering and want a lock of their hair and, all those different things. And this particular man's making lots of money off of them. Like Simon, remember?
Yeah.
What did I do to buy this gift?
That's right.
Simon the sorcerer.
And how evil was that? Remember what Paul did about that? He's like, I can't believe you would think you could buy the gift by the Holy Spirit. And just type in X Factor and you'll look. There's literally the video of what was going on. There's a counter for you to be able to know what part of that video you're going to be able to hear them say this. In regards to the stage person who stands on the stage, the announcer, I guess you would call him, it's towards the end of that second video. You can listen to him. He's just the whole freakiness just kind of hit. They could tell that something was wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a bit of videos and pictures. I'm looking at it now. It's called Simon Cowell, Simon the Sorcerer X Factor.
Yeah.
Question mark.
Right.
Wow.
And you got to see that. Yeah. If you could also make that available to up in the upper areas when people come today to see that. But it's, you can see it for yourself. There's actually a still shot of the blood on each of them. And they're just young boys. I mean, they just wanted to be singers. They wanted all that fame and stuff. And this is the price.
Can be older than 12 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're probably, I think they're about.
Yeah, they're in their teens.
They're in their teens or something. Then I think it's been a little bit. But it happened, Satan said to Jesus, I'll give you all this fame. I'll give you all these, but you got to worship me. You got to lay down and say, that I'm God, and they walked out with freakily with blood on them, on their necks, on their eyes, Mm-hmm. Just open show of, okay, I will demonstrate my loyalty to, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like all these young boys, oh my gosh, they don't even know what happened.
Uh-uh.
They don't even know how significant that was. But even people who probably don't even know God, they were kind of like, this is freaky.
Yeah.
This is freaky. Well, let me tell you something. You might not be on some stage with somebody like Simon or somebody, you know, risking you to sell your soul or something, but you could do it all by yourself. You could say, you know what? I don't want to follow Jesus. I'm just going to do it my own way, and I'm just going to buy into the average religion, the average relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, the typical Christian does this, and that's, I'm going to hang around that area, versus having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing Him as your Savior. I mean, it's a big question. We were talking about this, I think, yesterday is, you know, can you be saved by a Jesus you profess that you don't even know?
I mean,
you say, Jesus is Lord of my life, and I give my life to you, but you don't know who He is. Can that encounter save you? Because so many people are just saying these words, but like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, He says, I never knew you.
Yeah, your heart's far from me.
Your heart's far from me. He said to the 10 virgins that weren't ready, He says, I don't even know you. I don't know you. And you have to know Him. And
that's right.
You have to know. And that's why I said, when you know Him, you want to abide with Him, by the way. We always talk about it. That's what we're trying to bring you to the voice of God. And when you hear His voice, it's over.
Beautiful.
You'll be surprised. I mean, He's into you. He's into your life. He's into your relationships. He just loves you. And He'll direct you, and He'll keep you off. He'll help you keep your path straight. And you'll live a long life and a prosperous life. But it's just amazing that you have to remember that Satan is a liar, and he's the father of lies. So he'll come as an angel of light. He'll come as a religious person or figure. I mean, it's just like, if he would, you know, it's just like, oh my goodness, there's nobody more religious than Satan. It's like, oh, really?
And how many people are going to be deceived? When you look at that scripture, many, many will say to me on that day, and it's like, there's a lot of people deceived to think
right now
that knowing about Jesus, of Jesus, having a whole bunch of religion is the same thing as knowing Jesus. And they're not the same. They're not the same.
And you find that out either now when you're listening and you make Jesus the Lord of your life and you meet Him, or you find it out at the throne of judgment when you meet Him for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
What a terrible place to meet Jesus for the first time. It's over at that point. And Satan is a liar. This is how Jesus says, you're a liar. He's the father of lies. And when you hear things like we heard yesterday, in yesterday's program, I believe it was about, no, Friday's program, about listening to the United Nations and that voting bloc of the United Nations that said that the Muslim voting bloc, the unstoppable Muslim voting bloc, that they say they actually decided, this group did, that Zionism is racism.
Mm.
To be proud of your country and celebrating the founding of Israel and being loyal to your nation is racism. Which means this, by the way. When Satan says up, the answer is what? Down.
No.
When he says yes, the answer is
no.
No. And when he says Zionism is racism, the truth is anti-Semitism is racism. See, they said that Zionism is the root to racism, and Satan gave it away. Now we know that the root of racism is what? Anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
And nowhere in this world, anywhere, will we be able to snuff out and deal with a nation, will be able to deal with the injustices amongst race until we repent from any anti-Semitism in our nation and how we treat Israel. And if we can do that, we cut the root of how it would affect us in our nation.
Mm.
So remember that. We heard plain as day on Friday's program when we were listening to the president's speech in Israel. Part of that broke off where we're talking about the voting bloc in the United Nations and their group that met in New York that was headed by, or that particular meeting was headed by, the president of Iran, and they just voted and declared that Zionism is the root of racism.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because Satan just gave it away.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because the root of racism is anti-Semitism, hating and being racist towards the Jews, mm-hmm. towards their nations, towards their ethnic group, towards their heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Not liking the Jews because they're Jews. Not liking Israel because, you know, that's the root. So how do you defeat that? Well, you repent if you have not even put Israel on the grid of your life. If you spoke evilly of them, some sort of replacement theology or anything like that, you repent of that and you begin to pray for Israel, pray for the peace of Israel, and begin to bless Israel. If you mm-hmm. don't know what to do, just throw money into the land and then keep throwing it until God tells you what to do. You know, that's what right. we do. We support, you know, Avi Mizrahi and his the Dugid coffee shop there that's in Tel Aviv, and his fellowship of believers there, and the house of prayer now they have that's overlooking Tel Aviv. And we'd like to, that's what you want to do. That's how you begin to deal with it. You don't deal with it by being political. You don't deal with it by all these other things. You first got to deal with the root. And the root is, how do you see Israel? What's your perspective of Israel?
Mm.
And we get that right. And of course, what we're seeing from our leaders, you know, the ones that have been voted in office, it's anti-Semitic.
No doubt.
We will never, if that's how we're going to treat Israel, if that's how we're going to talk to them, is take them to the United Nations that has a majority voting block, unstoppable voting block, they call it, that's going to tell them that it's going to be anti-Semitic, their Islamic voting block,
mm-hmm.
then it's never going to go away.
Yeah. Something that was shared Friday that I thought, still thinking about today, that every throw lunged towards Israel, we're actually going to be feeling the effect of it.
Yes. I totally see that. I totally see that. There's like, even though it seems like one fist is punching that way, there's another one right beside it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
There's another one right beside it, and it's going to hit the church. You know, it's going to hit America. You know, and we have to brace ourselves, you know, for what's going to, you know, take place. Understand this, it's all going to get better, but it's sort of like having a cold, sort of like having the flu. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But coming through that, we come out of that by God's grace, we're going to have all kinds of spiritual antibodies.
mm-hmm.
The church is going to, you know, purge itself, and we're going to be stronger and more vibrant and more clear and more faithful, I believe, to the Lord. And but it's amazing what is taking place in the world today. All this ability to communicate is like, kind of like, do we really need this kind of communication?
Right.
Exactly. Do I really want to know all that terrible things that are taking place?
Exactly. And you look at it, I mean, on the world stage, and it's important what we're saying and who's saying it. When you have elected leaders that represent a nation, it's important. It's important what the president's saying, because it's a nation now that he's speaking for, and he's the head chief authority in the land. And it's like, man, we better get it right. We better get it right. Careful what you're saying. We don't want to be, you know, talking about a charm offensive. But yeah. What we were seeing was a flattery offensive. And
yeah,
it's like, this is not going to end good.
And because we don't do the work, you know, if we would just do the work, if we take time to quit just watching some reality show and start just learning that what's going on, and the best thing to do is get connected to a body of believers who are hearing from the Lord and who stay proactive into hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today.
Mm-hmm.
And not burying our heads in the sand of denial, but wanting to know the headlines, wanting to understand God's news behind the news, wanting to really see the prophetic happenings of the day. And God just lets you know. He just lets you know how to react and what to do. And but yeah, most definitely, most definitely. Well, you know, God speaks.